God needs us to proclaim the good news. It is time to start planning, for God's invitation will fill our church. To worship, for God is now here. I'm going to ask that you take a moment and sign the attendance pads that are located in the center aisle of the pew and pass them along. I'm going to highlight some of the announcements. From the outreach committee, collecting coats today is the last day. Advent study, faithful Christmas Through the Eyes of Joseph will begin on November 26th and continue for 4 weeks on Sunday evenings from 6:30 till 8. And last sign up is today or tomorrow. If you haven't yet, you may want to stop by the table in Fellowship Hall with the Redbird consignment articles. I want to clarify the time for UMW's circle meeting that will meet tomorrow, Monday, at 1 o'clock. There is one area in the bulletin where it indicates 1:30, but it is 1 o'clock at Marty Virtues. Also notice the caring tree is in the entryway. You can pick a tag and return an unwrapped gift due by December 4th. Movie night is November 15th at 6 o'clock at the church, and we'll be showing The Shack. This is a great activity for those who like mission work. We'll be doing a habitat build next Saturday, the 18th, in Lake Delton. You can go a half a day or a full day, and lunch will be provided. Sign up is in the fellowship hall. And if you have any questions, you can talk with Dennis Rolke. From the bazaar, there are a few items left, some holiday fruitcakes that are $10 and lefse that are $5 per package. And you can contact Mary Clark on those things. So now as we prepare for worship, we are going to do a responsive reading and singing. You'll notice where in parentheses it says singing. You'll turn to the red hymnal, page 662, and we'll sing verse 1 the first time and verse 2. Oh, the last verse, verse 5, the second time. God is in his holy temple. Be ready to greet the Redeemer. God is with us and calls us to this holy hour.
We come rejoicing and praising God.
This day, let service to God be our choice. And turn to page 472 in the red hymnal, Near to the Heart of God. Please join me in prayer. Your love has brought us together, O Lord, and it is your love that sustains us through each day. We pray that you would keep us faithful, even as we watch for signs of your kingdom. Strengthen us to work with you to bring about here and now your reign on earth. Give us the courage to witness your presence in the world today, tomorrow, and in the future. We pray in the name of the one who comes, Christ our Savior. Amen.
You may be seated, and I invite the young ones to come up to the front of the church. I've got to tell you that this morning I got the best surprise of my life. You all won't believe what the Sunday school kids did this morning. Should I tell them? Each of them made me a birthday card. Homemade, handmade. Some have flowers on them, some have stickers on them, but they're beautiful. Thank you so much. And when you see friends, you tell them thank you also. Thank you. Yeah. You know, it's really kind of special that you did that today, because what we're doing today, what we're talking about today, is how we serve God. And do you know that you served God in making those cards for me? That's what happens when we do something like that to brighten someone's day, or to when we do things to help people, we're really serving God. And God is letting us do that. So are there other nice things that you do? Like what? You help your parents?
Yeah.
Okay. I bet you babysit your little sister, huh? No, you're not old enough for that. Okay. How do you help them?
Clean my room.
Okay, you clean your room. Yeah. Addie, what do you do? Anything? Can you think of anything you do? When your mom or dad cooks a meal and sits in front of you, do you go, ooh, yuck, or do you go, wow, that looks good? Which one do you do?
Both.
Both. It depends on what it is, huh? Okay. Yeah, okay. So when your mom or your dad, or maybe your brother or sister, do laundry and fold those clothes up real nice or hang them up, what do you do with them? You put them away. What happens if you wouldn't put them away? They'd get mad at you. But you know what I've noticed happens? I know a little girl that used to take the clothes that were folded, she'd put them on her bed, and they wouldn't make it to the drawer. And then it would come bedtime, and she'd just kind of squish them over to one end of the bed. And then in the morning, where would they be? On the floor. Now, this little girl had a hard time keeping her room cleaned. And so this mom just closed that door most of the time. Does your mom ever close your door? Oh, you do. So they won't see it? See what's in there? Oh, golly. I shouldn't have talked about that, because now they know, don't they? They knew already, yeah. But that's what we're talking about today, is how God has called us to be special people so that we can serve God by serving other people. So I thank you for the gift you gave to me. Will you pray with me? We thank you, God,
that you
show us
how we can serve,
how we can help,
how we can brighten
someone's day. Amen. Thank you.
The Word of God from the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 1 through 3a and 14 through 25. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel and Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nabor, lived beyond the river and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped before beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sin. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he drew them up for them decrees and laws. Now the choir will sing. Now, from the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Jesus teaches a lesson through a parable, the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took up their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in the jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come and meet him." Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Hey, wake up. It's time for the sermon.
What do you mean, wake up? This is prime nap time.
How can you sleep at a time like this? You might miss something important.
Nah, I've been hearing this same old stuff all my life.
But this is God's word. Don't you know this could change your life?
Change my life? I must have missed that part.
Exactly. We've promised to serve God, to be witnesses with our lives. How can you witness when you're asleep?
Well, I guess it might not hurt to pay attention just this once.
Pay attention today and every day. This is the word of God.
And you never know what might happen.
Thank you. Thank you, Suzanne. My translation was a little bit different than the one that Suzanne read when she talked about the Lord saying, "Yield your hearts." My translation says, "Focus your hearts." And I am aware that the reading from Matthew today has long been understood as predicting the second coming of Christ, that what we're getting ready for is for our salvation, and we need to be ready. We can't put off a decision for Christ. But I'm going to come at it from a different perspective, a little bit different perspective today, in how we are ready. It's really about our willingness, in addition to our readiness, because we can be ready, but if we hold ourselves back, we're still not where the parable suggests that we should be. This was problematic. The parable is problematic for those of us who live in the Western culture. There's some things happen in the parable that we just don't understand, and sometimes those things distract us from what Jesus was saying. One of the things we don't understand is, why were the bridesmaids waiting for the groom? We know that the bridesmaids always hang out with the bride, and the groomsmen hang out with the groom. But the Middle Eastern focus is on the groom's procession, especially in Jesus' time, that the groom processed to the bride, rather than the way we do it, the bride processes to the groom. Another problem that we have with this is that according to our time schedule, if there's going to be a wedding, it's not going to be at midnight. If there's going to be a wedding, we know what time it is. It's published. Wedding's going to be at 11 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We know what time it is, and we expect that it's going to happen that way. And it appears that this scripture, there's not a set time. Why do they do it that way? And if those five had enough oil, why couldn't they share with the other five? Isn't that what the Bible teaches us, is to share? There's a harsh reality in this, that we need to be ready or we face the consequences. What does it mean that the door is locked? Unlock it! And then this tune goes through my head. It's a tune that you're all familiar with. It's one of our hymns. Are ye able, says the Master. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Not all cultures look at the world the way we do. There is this thing called an Asian sense of time. When I worked for Community Action way back, there was what we called a Native American, now Indigenous people, sense of time. It's different than ours. The event is what is important, much more important than the time that it is supposed to occur. Some of us hold fast to the ticking of a clock. And depending on who we're working with or who we're waiting for, others may not hold fast in that same way. When it's time for a wedding, we get there 20 minutes early because that's when they start seating people. We arrive at the wedding. And with some cultures, we may sit there and wait for an hour. The Eastern sense of time is what Jesus is talking about in this parable. It's different. There's Chronos time and Kairos time. We tend to focus on chronological time. That makes sense for those of us who live in the Western world. Kairos time, waiting for something to happen, just doesn't work for us. And it's not going to work. I mean, we can't wait to start the service on Sunday mornings until Marty and Cindy feel like doing it. Not in the mood. Fingers are too cold. Their fingers were cold earlier this morning. Time means different things. What Jesus is saying is that we need to be ready, regardless of the time,
We need to be ready to share the good news that we've been given. We need to be prepared to serve those who are in need. We need to be prepared for whatever it is that our children bring to us. We need to not miss the opportunities. And I think that's another way of looking at what Jesus was talking about. Because we have opportunities all the time. Towards the end of his life, Joshua was leading his people to another covenant to renew the one that they had made. God's relationship with those people and with us is defined by covenant. Covenants cannot be forgotten. We forget them. And when Joshua was talking to the people and telling them that, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua reminded them of time after time after time that they had said, we'll do that, we'll take that covenant, and then turn around and live the way we do. And God comes back and offers them another covenant. Joshua reminds them of all that God had done for them from the time of Abraham, all through those years of going to a foreign land, the years of slavery in Egypt, the years in the wilderness and being brought to this promised land. Joshua reminds them of all that God has done for them. And he's saying in such a way that he's giving the message, you better not forget this. And I think the reminder for us is also that God has done so much for me. God has done so much for you. God has done so much for this congregation. There's times that we've been liberated, times that we have wandered, and times that we find ourselves in the promised land. What has God done for you? I think when we ask that question, what we're doing is we're focusing on who God is and focusing our heart or our spirit on who God has been for us. When we make our commitments, we need to remember or be reminded of what God has done for each one of us. Joshua makes that stand. He recounts, and then he says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua didn't just say it for himself. He said for his family. He's making a commitment for them as well. Joshua is letting the people know exactly where he stands. We're faced with decisions. D- directions that we're going to go as we finish high school and as we go to college, as we get our jobs, as we move from job to job. We're faced with decisions when we're in school and we need to decide whether we're going to blow this class off or not, whether we're going to do the studying we need to do or not. We make decisions. And then we deal with the consequences. We know that not all of the decisions that we face are between good and bad. Sometimes there's two good decisions, two good choices, and what is our decision? Five bridesmaids made a wise decision. They prepared for the bridegroom, and they were ready to go into the wedding banquet. Five made unwise decisions. The time ran out. I don't know how many of you are friends on Facebook with Sylvester Santamu, the young man who was here this summer with Paul Webster. He's got a lot of posts on Facebook. I don't remember him talking clearly about his commitment to Christ when he was here, but he does that now. There came a time for him to make a decision. And that decision shapes who he is going to be for the rest of his life. He's going to go to college, likely the first person in his family to do that. I'm thinking that he's probably going to come back and work on that farm when he's done with school. Paul Webster continues to be a witness to his faith in Christ, and that is changing lives. And it seems to me that Sylvester is saying yes to those opportunities to help his community where he is. When we walk out the door today, we're going to face decisions. Do you guys still go to breakfast or lunch? Or is that just a summertime thing? You do, okay. Okay. Invite some families along with you. We make decisions. And I was going to bring them up, but the three posters that Anne made while she was here that show the ministries that we're involved in, the nurture ministries, the outreach ministries, and the witness ministries. I look at that, and I can see the commitment that is here to serving God, to being the people of God. And those pages are so filled with the ways that we're in ministry. I don't know if there's room for more, but I do know that there's more need. Someone realized that there were people in our community who were hungry. And they weren't just hungry for food. They were hungry for food, but they were also hungry for connections with others. The United Methodist Women did a great job last weekend. They would do a great job year-round. When Mary spoke last week, something like $8,000. And we could get a pretty big head about that. That's a lot of work and good reward. But it's not done for us. It's done for others. And that is what we are called to. Do you know our youth are willing to come and help you? Clean up your backyard. Oh, I had such a messy garage last week, but I took care of that myself. Our youth want to serve. They've seen it. Their hearts have been touched. And they want to touch others. And it's not just through raking your backyard or carrying wood in or painting. They want to connect with other people. That is our faith. We thank God that God continually pulls us to focus not on ourselves, but on others. Because through that, we transform lives. Our faith makes a difference. Amen.
I would invite Bruce and Louise and Karen to come up to the front of the church. We did our dedication of memorials last Sunday, and who knew that the stage curtains were going to come in this week when they did. Jane, her daughter and granddaughter, yeah, okay. Jane, Karen, and Dominique are all here today, and Jane wanted to make this dedication while some of the other family members were here. So Karen.
As witnesses to Christ, in commitment to spiritual growth and service, and in extending hospitality and welcome of all people as God's children, in loving memory of Otto Cordero, we present the gift of stage curtains for the Fellowship Hall, to be consecrated to the glory of Almighty God and for service in this church.
Dear friends, we present this memorial and gift given to honor the memory of Otto Cordero in Christ, whom we have named. This gift is given that the ministry and the mission will continue.
And on behalf of the Board of Trustees, I receive these gifts for the comfort of those who mourn, for strength to those who are tempted, for light to those who seek the way, for the promotion of righteousness and the extension of God's reign, in gratitude for the labors of all who love and serve this church, in loving remembrance of those who have finished their course in the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Let us pray together. We, the people of the Concordia United Methodist Church, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, grateful for our heritage, aware of the sacrifices of our mothers and fathers in the faith, celebrate the human lives and eternal lives of these saints of God. We dedicate ourselves anew to the worship and service of God through Jesus Christ. In union with the whole church, we join in prayer to God through Christ. Gracious God, you have shown us the abundant generosity of your love. Redeeming God, you have endowed us all with gifts to use for your praise and glory. Renewing God, you have called us to be your holy people. Bless the church throughout the world, that though we come from different lands, we may love you with the same love and live in the unity which the Holy Spirit brings. God of everlasting life, for your faithful people, life is changed, but not ended by death. Grant peace to those who have died, that they may share in the fullness of Christ's risen life. Amen. Thank you. We respond to God's generosity in many ways. That we can be in ministry here and in the community. I invite the ushers to come as we share our gifts. Let us pray together. Blessing upon blessing has been given to us, O Lord. We dedicate these gifts to you, generous God, even as we dedicate our lives to you. Keep us true to our purpose, that we may be witness to you with all that we are and all that we do. Amen. Wally and Norma Clavidatcher are going to be moving into a nursing home and assisted living from being in their home for many years. We want to keep them in our prayers. And Sandy's brother-in-law, Doug, is having surgery on Tuesday to remove a kidney that is cancerous.
Is there anything else? Let us pray. In moments of silence, oh God, we focus our hearts on you. We lift to you the burdens that we carry this day, and we lift to you the joys and gratitude in our lives. You know, God, that we can be impatient at times, and we can be stubborn at times. We want to know how things will turn out, and we want to know what the schedule is. We want a daily planner from you so that we can be ready. Our daily planner is the Holy Spirit, who gives us comfort and guides us. Every day we are called to come before you, to open ourselves in prayer and praise. And day by day, your Holy Spirit challenges us to find ways to serve your people in our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces, and in our world. But we would kind of like to know when we need to have all of the oil for the lamps. Because it is hard to be continually ready. Help us to place you in the center of our lives, seeking daily to prepare ourselves. Give us such strength and perseverance that every day we would proclaim your love to all of creation. Today we pray for those in our community who need your healing and your comfort. And so we remember Doug as he faces surgery and likely treatment. We pray for Wally and Norma as they make this transition in their lives. It is difficult to downsize and downsize and downsize. We pray for the leaders throughout the world that they might make wise decisions. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world whose lives are torn apart by war. We pray for those brothers and sisters who are anxious or doubtful, fearful, and feel like they are trapped. We pray prayers of gratitude for all of those who have been a witness of your love to us. We pray knowing that you are present with us now,
that you will strengthen us to keep the faith, to keep working for the time when Christ will come again. Hear our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Would you turn to hymn number 2153 in the black hymnal? I'm gonna live so God can use me. Use us, gracious God. Give to us your love, your mercy, and your peace. Amen.